There he is, big mouth there. Obviously, Morrissey, the old big gob that he is. And this is Jason Ferry, and it's KX93.5, and it's Laguna's Only FM. We encourage people to come into the station and bring music and art of any kind, really. We're into it. We're at the corner of Pearl Street and Pacific Coast Highway in Laguna Beach, California. And if you're passing by and you've got a CD or a book or a painting you'd like to share with us, we love to receive that stuff. And just about 10 minutes ago, a guy walks in the station and he's got this book. It's called One Day in Paris. And the man's name is Andrew Brell. And he seemed like a nice chap, so I said, why don't you come in and we'll have a chat about it on the air. So here he is. Hello, Andrew. How are you, sir?
Hello, Jason. I'm good. How are you?
Get really close to that mic like I am, like you're, almost you're kissing sure. it.
That's better, yes.
All right.
I can get your germs.
Are you? Do you yeah, well, somebody's germs. Some sweaty old band who were in here yesterday. Yeah. Sorry about that. the book's One Day in Paris, and is it self-published?
It is self-published. I've done it all myself. It's my second book. And I've done the whole thing, wrote it, laid it out, did the artwork on the cover, and the whole thing. I even took the photograph of myself. It's the publicity
well,
photograph.
That's the spirit of the age these days, self-publishing,
that's,
self-making your own
that's
records.
Right, yes.
It's the way things are, you know.
Well, it lets you make it possible, you know. It's all done through Amazon. And who would have known even 10 years ago that this kind of opportunity was there for writers to self-publish?
I have a friend called Tony Wilde. He's a British guy, and he has written a book with his partner, Diane de Gunsberg, and they've written a trilogy called The Moonstone Legacy. Mm. And the first book was published by a big publisher in London, and they got so sick of the publisher. I mean, there's a wonderful deal that they got with him, with this publisher, but they got... And the one thing they said was, we're going to self-publish. Why? Because at least then we can field the phone calls. We get to be in touch with the people that are calling and not calling. It's a really great thing to publish. If you can do it yourself...
Yeah, that's right.
...and do it properly.
Well, if you can get someone to give you a large advance and publish you and take away the phone calls, then, you know, you would take that. But now, the odds of you... of an unknown person getting a publishing advance is more or less nothing. The industry is entirely determined by celebrity status. So you would, unless you have a TV show or something of that nature to make you attractive to a publisher, no one's going to give you an advance. And if you're not getting an advance, why give away the rights?
Right. These guys got a small advance, the first book, and it did okay. But the experience of doing that with that publisher, even though the book did all right, in fact, it's won prizes now, they said that even though, and these are not working people, these are people that can afford to manage their own careers.
Yes.
And they just said, after that first experience, when the second book was ready, they took it away. They just said, no, we're going to do this. Hmm. They hadn't signed a deal for more than one book, so they said, we want to be in charge of this ourselves. We can do this as well as sort of big time as that guy, but they can certainly do it in a way that works for them, and that's what works, you know, that's why they did it. So tell us a bit about, you're not from around here originally, are you?
No, I'm not from around here. How did you tell?
So you're an African person?
I'm a Greek person, and I have a history of living in South Africa. I lived there till I was 24.
Right, that's where the accent is.
And then I moved to the UK, your home island.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived in the UK for about 30 years, and now I am something of an itinerant writer-traveller who ended up in Laguna Beach.
Yeah, why not? Why not wind up here? A lot of us are itinerant artists that wound up here. And the South African accent, I know we should talk about the book, but it's one of those accents that really sticks. It really... I mean, a lot of Brits wind up with American accents.
Yes.
You know, is that... Scots, never. The Scots will keep their accents forever.
That's
and South Africans
right.
the same thing. It's interesting that.
Yeah, I think you make an effort when you move from South Africa to the UK in particular, or the US. There's nothing worse than people contriving to lose an accent.
Yeah.
So it's where I learned to speak English, was in South Africa. So this is how I speak.
Yeah, it's good fun, isn't it? Because you do meet. I meet people. They'll say, "Hey, I'm from England too," and they'll say, "Really?" They say, "Yeah." I say, "How long have you been here?" And they say, "Oh, about 3 months." And they've got this dude accent.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, I'm married to an English girl, so There's no way of being pretentious in my house.
No, I can see that.
So, tell us about the book. Give us a basic sort of synopsis.
Well, you know, the lovely saying, "Dear Sir or Madam, will you read my book? It took me years to write it. Will you take a look?" Mm-hmm. So, I've always been keen to write. So I wrote my first book about my South African experience. It was a non-fiction book. It did very well. It's called The Emergency Bouzouki Player. And after that, I was looking for something to follow up. And obviously, publishing in the last possibly 5 years has changed really dramatically, mm-hmm. to the point that now you can do digital on-demand publishing, where a publisher like Amazon will have your book ready to go. Someone can order a paperback online, and it can be delivered anywhere in the world.
Most of them printed and delivered, probably. They don't even have to have stock.
They don't even have to have stock. It's right. Just fantastic. And then if you have Kindle on the back of that, and then you have audio now where you can record your book. So the three formats can all be available.
Yeah, very quickly.
Very quickly and very easily.
Well, tell us the story of the book. Tell us, that's the nuts and bolts of how it works.
Nuts and bolts.
Right, tell us a bit about the story without giving away the end.
Right, it's called One Day in Paris. And one day in Paris, I was in Paris about 4 years ago, walking along the Seine and enjoying a little summer evening in Paris. And the next thing, a white van, you know, a transit van, what we used to call in England a builder's van.
Yeah, transit van.
Pulled up next to me, nearly hit me, and it was way off the road, you know, and out jumped four guys carrying tools and drills and so on, and they were an emergency crew on their way to fix something. And being an imaginative fellow that I am, I started thinking, imagine if that wasn't builders. Imagine if that was someone with some kind of a political agenda. And then it occurred to me, it's the old saying that you may remember. I'm sure you've done it. We've all kind of conjectured over terrorist attacks like 9/11 and what it is that people, what motivates people to do things. And then really, why they're not more successful at it. You know, if you think about it, how easy it is to do something terrible.
Anybody who's crossed the border into Mexico and back will tell you, you could have brought anything back with you.
That's absolutely right. Yeah. And if you wanted to, you know, I was taking a flying lesson, flying over a football stadium in Los Angeles County not that long ago. And it occurred to me that it's not that hard, really, to just, you know, use that opportunity to do something terrible. So from that, I started thinking about creating a character, British Army character, who might, for reasons of political expediency, undertake designing a terrorist attack. So that's kind of, without giving it away, the premise of the book. It's why would someone do it, and if they did do it, how would they do it?
Right, wow, that's very interesting. So, the book's called One Day in Paris, and it's by Andrew Brell, my guest in the studio today. And let's play a track called Free Man in Paris by Joni Mitchell, and we'll come back and talk a bit more. All right, it's KX93.5. Thanks for being here, Andrew. Really cool.
Cool. I do good to you.
popular song.
Yeah, Joni Mitchell there, and live at the Budokan. That's a live version from 1983 of Free Man in Paris. My guest today is Andrew Brell, who walked in the station completely sight unseen and just seemed nice. And he looked me in the eyes when he talked, and I thought, well, all right, this guy's all right. He's on the up and up. And he's written a book called One Day in Paris. Where's the book available?
It's available on Amazon at this stage. We're going to be doing a launch at Laguna Books soon.
Oh, you are? Cool.
Yeah.
All right, now I know you've done a CD as well. You handed me a CD before you handed me the book. And so when you do your launch at Laguna Books, you want to come back in and talk about the record? Are you going to sell the record at the same time as the book? How's that going to work?
I think we're going to do it separately. Laguna is the album. It's a beautiful album I've done with Richard Niles, who I think you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very talented musician and composer, and has a long pedigree. And so we're going to be doing a launch on that. That's going to be on the 29th of this month, August. And okay. Then that's going to be available on all the usual outlets, iTunes and so on. It's called Laguna.
Well, I'd love it if you bring Richard in and talk more about the record another time.
Yes.
And people can get One Day in Paris, a new book by Andrew Brell, at Amazon.com. Just look for it. One Day in Paris, Andrew Brell, B-R-E-L. Nice.
Very nice.
Yeah, nice to meet you, mate.
Nice to meet you, Jason.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. It's really a great thing. And it takes a bit of... it takes cojones to just walk into a radio station and do that. But you know, we have an open door policy here. People can come in and do, you know, just drop stuff off. We like
it. Yeah, and you're a very friendly, handsome guy, Jason.
Oh, handsome, so I like that.
You make it easy.
Yeah, schmooze me. I know. It does work. All right, it's KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. KX93.5.